The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. And welcome. I'm Bill Newell, joined by Phil Stacey, the executive sports editor of the Salem News, Matt Williams, assistant sports editor, and Nick Giannino, Mr. Full Court Press. And Nick, we're going to start with you because it's a big basketball week coming up this week at the Boston Garden with a team that you've covered, the Beverly Panthers, going for that Division II, well, playing in the Division II state semifinal game. So, Nick, why don't we begin with you?
Yeah, let's start with their big win on Saturday at the Songus Center. Came out and beat Belmont pretty handily, 76-59. You know, the key thing in this game was getting off to that great start. I think they built a 15-4 lead right out of the gate, and you started to get the feeling that this might be their night, and it was. You know, Jack Crowley got off to the terrific start himself. I think he went 8-10 in the first half, 17 points, hit a three, he was grabbing rebounds. So he really set the tone. And it was a 10-point game at the break, despite, you know, a pretty significant full-court pressure from Belmont. But Beverly was able to handle it pretty well. I think they only had 5 turnovers in the first half, so that was a good sign. And then third quarter, they came out just like they did in the first quarter and kind of built that lead even more. It was, like I said, it was 10 at the break. They got it up to, I don't know if they got it to 20, maybe 18, 19 points, something like that. And it just proved too lofty for Belmont, a good shooting team.
How many times have you seen them get off to a fast start like that and really just, like, drop the hammer on opponents this year?
In the regular season, quite a few times. In the playoffs, it hasn't happened yet. That was the first time. Thinking back, Burlington.
Even in Burlington, they jumped out to a lead.
Yeah.
At Tewksbury, when they played Burlington, right. I think they jumped out. They had like a 10-point lead throughout a lot of that game, yeah. Only to see Burlington crash back and close a few times. But, you know, they had the upper hand, and it was kind of frightening in the sense that their lead evaporated very quickly right at the end of the game and went into overtime.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the difference, too, in the Burlington game was they weren't scoring as many points, Beverly. They had a bigger lead, but it didn't feel as big because neither team was very hot offensively.
And the other thing, too, is the Belmont team beat the Burlington team. Yeah, and so you think going into this game that that this is going to be a much tougher game for Beverly. But Belmont had been to the North Finals before a year ago.
Yeah, they won it last year.
Yeah, and so you think they've got everything going for them. But, you know, I want to go back. Their big gun, Mac Annis, right, the guard, he was missing shots in that game. They were defending him well, but he was missing some open looks in the game too, which probably very uncharacteristic of him, the league MVP.
Hey, it's a make or miss game, baby, and it sounds like Beverly's defense has been forcing their opponents to miss.
Yeah, well, I think they had a great game plan coming in, and just speaking with Matt Karakoudis, the coach, after the game, he said they just executed the game plan. I mean, it was no secrets. They honed in on Mac Annis, and he finished with 15 points, I think, but he did not shoot a high percentage. And Belmont as a whole did not shoot a high percentage for a good shooting team. I think they only hit, let's see, I got the stats here. They hit 4 three-pointers for a team that averages close to 10, I believe. That's some very good defense for Beverly.
Interesting, too, how it was like a tale of two halves, even scoring-wise for Beverly, where like Crowley was so, again, I'm going off your tweets here, but sure, so dominant in the first half. And then it was Moreland who turned up the heat in the second half,
yeah,
and kind of put the finishing touches on this win.
Yeah, and that's the luxury of having both of those guys. It's one thing when one of them is playing awesome. You know, Beverly can be tough to beat, but if both of them are on their game like that, it's a scary team. And, yeah, Crowley finished with 26 points, 17 of those coming in the first half, and then Moreland finished with 25 with, 16 coming in the second half for him, something like that. So those two together are really a formidable duo. And if they can come to play Wednesday against Whitman-Hanson, you know, I give Beverly – yeah, Panthers, yeah, that's right.
And did I read something that, like, this is their third South title in the last 5 years, something like that?
That sounds right, yeah. They're a powerhouse. A lot of people expected them to come out of the South, and here we are. Of course, I haven't seen them play. I'm going to speak with Karakoudis tonight, Monday night, about them. But, you know, obviously they're there for a reason, and they'll pose probably different threats than Belmont will. But great run so far for the Panthers, up to 21 wins, school record there, first North title. It's definitely a special group.
And what would we say? That's only the third time they've ever won three playoff games in 1 year, but the other two were like, what was the 30s or early 40s, you know, like that kind of thing?
I mean, that's, what, 80 years ago? So pretty incredible stuff for this Beverly team, almost unprecedented.
You know, the other thing, too, since we're talking, you mentioned Jack Rowley and Duncan Moreland, Phil mentioned, but Justin De La Cruz had his moments in that game Saturday night. And then, of course, Gabe Copeland, the freshman, kind of did it again, as he did against Burlington. Was so instrumental at a number of times, being able to keep Beverly, you know, keep that lead by hitting some key baskets inside and even outside. And then Austin Ayer played a little bit more Saturday night than he did against a smaller, quicker Burlington team. But he was contributing as well.
Yeah, I thought every player that saw time, played their role. Both guards, Damian Boris and Justin De La Cruz, you know, nothing crazy on the stat sheets, but they both hit a couple big shots, were controlling the ball offensively, not turning it over, and getting it to their two big guns in Jack and Duncan. So that was the game plan, and they executed it. And then same thing with Austin. I thought he turned in some strong minutes down low. You know, he grabbed six rebounds. Didn't score much, but, you know, again, he played his role. And then even the sophomore there, Nick Bragianca, came in and turned in some good minutes too. I mean, limited the mistakes. So everyone that played really contributed in this win.
You know, you'd think sometimes, too, a team, no matter what sport, but when you play in a big venue like that for the first time, you know, they're going from a gym that probably holds, you know, 1,500 people to an arena that holds over 8,000, you could look up this cavernous place, get a little bit nervous and all, but that obviously didn't seem to be the case.
No, not at all. It seemed like they were pumped up to play and they just played their game. I mean, that start by Jack Crowley really just set the tone and got them off on the right foot. And then, Bill, you mentioned Gabe Copeland, the freshman, too. He doesn't crack under the pressure at all. I mean, he came in, he had 13 points. I think he went 6 for 6 down the stretch from the free throw line, which are always big shots. He hit a 3 in the first half. He was working down low, getting rebounds. He had 7 rebounds as well. So, like I said, it was just a balanced effort for the Panthers.
Yeah. It's funny, Nick, you've seen Beverly a bunch of times this year, but is there anybody that has a better game face, if you will, than Jack Crowley?
Because you
can put Duncan Moreland about in that same class as well, because I saw them at, I think it was in this first time this year, the second half over in Salem, where they just turned it on. But but Jack had that face on when the ball went up in the air. You knew that you would not be surprised with the performance he had in the first half.
Yeah, I think he treats it. He looks at it as he's the best player on the floor when he steps out there, and he plays aggressive and kind of, like I said, sets the tone for his team. And he's done that a few times now in the playoffs. I think Jack's go-to is the scream and the like that kind of thing, and Duncan's is the flex when he gets the ad one. He loves to flex those muscles. So both of those kids, you know, they're peaking at the right time, and Beverly's playing the best basketball they have all season, so it's nice to see them do that in the playoffs.
I know in other venues or podcasts we'll be talking more about some of the other games. You know, you got Lynn English playing Tuesday night at the Garden.
That had to have been a great game.
Which
Lowell game had to have been a terrific game. I mean, it seems to me, and I'm certainly a basketball novice compared to Nick, but those appear to be the two best teams in the state. So for that to go to overtime and English to prevail the way they did, that must have been a great game.
And in fact, Lowell had a chance to win the game in regulation. They had it tied, and they came down, and they stalled the ball and then kind of fumbled it outside and never got a good shot out after getting the ball tied. With 15 seconds left in the game, basically, around there. They had the ball. They had no trouble getting it up over midcourt, had plenty of time in forecourt, never got a good never really got a shot off it, really.
Something that kind of flew under the radar with them, too. Didn't one of their players get hurt or got in foul trouble and fouled out? Lowell player, a key player for them, I think I saw on Twitter. So, I mean, that could have played a big role. A big kid for them, too, which, you know, was key going against Lynn English with all their size. So that certainly hurt. I don't know. I only saw the first half of the game before heading out, but it seemed like he was in foul trouble and fouled out.
You know, somebody told me, in fact, I just heard this out today, that they delayed the start of the game, you know, because they could have started, you know, about 15 minutes late, but it ends up starting almost like an hour late, I'm thinking, yeah, by the time they actually got the game underway, because they had so many people waiting to get in.
Oh, no kidding.
So here's an MIAA. Now, I'm not here to beat up on the MIAA, but obviously they couldn't handle the crowd, but it speaks to what we were kind of touching on last week with the state tournament, the North Sectionals, and how popular that North Sectional day is really out in Lowell, where you have,
especially where Lowell is playing, right, at a game in Lowell.
For them, yeah.
But they had a good crowd. I mean, the Beverly crowd was good in the Beverly Belmont game. Beverly brought a lot of fans down from Beverly, but obviously the place was, there was a very good crowd for that Lynn English Lowell game, and as you might expect from Lowell, but Lynn brought a ton of people as well.
I'd say it was probably three quarters full. When I looked up after finishing my story, it was, you know, mid first quarter, second quarter, and that place was pretty full. And I think the Songus holds what, about 6,600. I looked it up.
Yeah.
So I'd say there's about 4,000 or 5,000 people there easily.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for the first time of the day, people were seated at the end of the at the end of the court. Usually, you're able to, in a big venue like that, be on the side, but there were a lot of people at the at each end as well, seated right there, as they say.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I need more hand sanitizer. I'm not sure if that's the issue. Matt, what do you want to pick up on?
Well, we got our Super 8 hockey here. You know, it's interesting. The prep is in maybe the driver's seat, you might argue. I mean, obviously Pope Francis has something to say about that, but I always find it interesting, and I'm going to get on my soapbox here. Yeah, I don't like this format that we have now, the double elimination, because it's not double elimination. If I'm sitting here and I'm Arlington, I'm saying, well, wait a minute, I beat these guys. Now, if these guys beat me, they get the trophy and I get nothing. If this was the rules for the Super 8 in baseball, St. John's Prep would have two championships, and instead they have none. So I don't understand the double elimination until the final. I get it, it's like for the TD Garden or something, but it just seems kind of unfair to the team that wins the winner's bracket. But, you know, full marks to the Prep. They're making their way through the loser's bracket. Phil can tell you all about the great game down there in Framingham on Saturday. They, you know, prevailed in overtime. You know, they could have gone a turtle after they gave up the tying goal, and instead they said, we might as well just win this thing. You know, there's only one thing left to do, to channel the old Major League line there, and they did it. And now they play Pope Francis, a team that, you know, wants to win its first Super 8 title, I believe, and has knocked on that door in the past, and then has had their dreams derailed by St. John's Prep in the past. So certainly a great game there, but I mean, it just, to me, as I look at it with my baseball glasses on, you know, you would think that Arlington should be in the catbird seat by winning the winner's bracket. But in fact, you know, they're off for a week. There's no pitching, so they really have no advantage being off for a week. And then if they lose once, they don't get a second chance. They don't get a mulligan. They just get a silver medal, and they get to go home. So I don't know. I just, as a baseball person, that always jumps to my mind. I used to like it better, the Super 8, when it was the pods, the round robin, and then the semis and the finals were at least both single eliminations, so that you were kind of all on the same playing field. To me, if you're going to be double elimination, you got to be double elimination all the way. You know, but that's just my sort of observation. And you know, let's have Phil tell us all about the game here from Saturday night, right? A real exciting finish. And I don't think anybody picked this particular scorer in the Phil Stacey overtime challenge.
That's good. I like that. That's pretty good. One thing I would disagree with you with is I don't think the Prep is necessarily sitting pretty. I think a good friend, Christian Hansen, would recoil if he heard you say that.
Well, no, I mean, Pope Francis certainly wants revenge from the Miracle on Ice. But, I mean, compared to Arlington, if I was in the Final Three and I knew I was going to win, I would want to play a game in the middle of the week. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be off for a week. And I think Arlington is really, it's unfortunate for them the way that this schedule works.
I want to say, too, we do have a local connection with the Arlington hockey team, whether you realize it or not. I've seen him twice now. I saw him when the St. John's played Arlington a week or so ago down in Stoneham, and I saw him again the other night out in Framingham. Their defensive coach is Drew Weil, who was a football, hockey, and baseball standout at Ipswich High in the early 90s when I first started working at the paper. Started in 90. He was on those two Super Bowl teams that Ipswich won in 91 and 92. And Drew, here's a little known fact for you. Drew has 8 Super 8 championships on his resume. How do you play Ipswich High and get 8 Super 8 championships, may you ask? Well, let me tell you, Bill.
I don't know how that could happen.
He was assistant coach at Catholic Memorial during their heyday.
I'm taking notes.
7 titles there, and then when he joined Arlington 4 years ago, that first year they won a Super 8 title. So Drew's a great guy. See him at the rink. His son, Jack, is an Ipswich High football captain-to-be this fall. So good guy, and it's good to see him at the rink. Now.
Well, hold on.
Okay. So I think you were pretty deceptive because saying he played at Ipswich High School and got Super 8 titles. That's what threw me off. I know you didn't say that.
But
that's what threw me off, Phil.
You know, these things get lost in the laundry sometimes, but that's okay. Hey, Willie, you mentioned, yes, one of the all-time great St. John's Prep wins, and I would argue any sport, was that win over what was then Springfield Cathedral, 2015 state semifinals. No need to rehash. I mean, Prep wins in overtime against a team that had 6 Division I college hockey players, undefeated, blah, blah, blah. Great win. They go on to win the Super 8. More recently for Pope Francis, they've lost in the Super 8 final each of the last 2 years to BC High, including, Willie, is what you were just mentioning, one of those when they went through the winner's bracket, and they won the whole thing, and then they won the winner's bracket, I should say. They're waiting in the final. BC High gets to the final and beats them. And they lost another time in 4 overtimes to BC High. So that is, these guys are hungry. They are definitely hungry. St. John's Prep actually defeated Pope Francis early this year, Bill, in the Frady's tournament. In fact, it's kind of ironic. They played BC High in the first round. This is St. John's Prep played BC High. Pope Francis had beaten Central Catholic in the first game. St. John's Prep and BC High played to a tie, an MIA tie. They went to overtime to determine which team would move on in this, Christmas tournament. Pete Frady's Winter Classic. Prep wins in overtime. Then they go on and they beat Pope Francis. Now, Saturday night, what happens? BC High and St. John's Prep play again in the state tournament. They go to overtime. Mm-hmm. And who wins? St. John's Prep. So St. John's Prep now advances to play Pope Francis. Similar situation here. Will we get the same result? Who's to say? The Prep players and coaches all tell me this is a completely different Pope Francis team than the one they played back in late December. They have an excellent freshman, Leonard. His brother Johnny Leonard is a star out at UMass Amherst. Was a great player on that 2015 Pope Francis team, which was then Springfield Cathedral. They're very strong offensively. They put up a lot of goals, albeit they were I watched their game against Arlington on Saturday, and they had a tough time. Lots of chances, but couldn't put one by the goalie. So I think for St. John's to win, there's a couple of factors here on Wednesday night out at Loring. One, you can't look ahead. You're one step away from the Garden, but if you get caught looking ahead, you're done before it even starts. Two, I think they need to use the physical edge that they have. St. John's is a pretty good team. You can tell they've been in the weight room. They win a lot of one-on-one puck battles. They win a lot of fights along the wall. So that has to continue. And their depth, they're going to need guys like Will Perry, who scored the other night, 5th defenseman on the team, coming up and scoring the biggest goal of the season. They're going to need third-line guys to score, things like that. So that's what's going to help St. John's.
Interesting stories, because at this time, the tournament time, teams that do well often have somebody step up that may not be the top 3 players on a team or top 5 or whatever, but they're there, they're good, they're talented, and they have their moment, because that's what happens from time to time, and it is amplified because it is in such a big game situation, yeah. Postseason games. Well, guys, maybe we can go around if you guys have any other final thoughts on any other sports, wherever. Matt, let me begin with you. We'll go to Nick and then Phil.
Sure. Let's just quick look at the girls' hockey tournament, the Final 4, Woburn, Boston Latin, Austin Prep, and Braintree. I my bracket is busted. I only had one of those teams going to the Final 4. That would be Austin Prep. That's my winner. So if there's any gamblers out there or anybody's taking action, I'm still going with AP. And looking at college hockey, Endicott, men and women, both won their conference. They're both going to go to the NCAA tournament this weekend. The women kind of got the shaft a little bit from the NCAA. They go on the road to face Middlebury. This is the number two ranked team in the pairwise rankings against the number three ranked team in the first round, which, you know, UMIA people tell me that's not allowed, but, you know, the NCAA is doing it. So I guess, you know, we need more bracket integrity in Division IV boys basketball than we do for, you know, a national championship. And the Gulls men will be at home this Saturday against Plymouth. It's a game they should probably win, and perhaps we'll chase the D3 Frozen Four. So that's it for me.
Should I hit it? No, just go. I guess I'll touch a little bit on the next level of basketball here. What the heck is going on with the Celtics? They're free-falling here. I don't know if they are really missing Jaylen Brown that bad, but last night, terrible loss for them again. In the final seconds, Kemba Walker turns it over, and they lose to the Thunder. What's that, four in a row now, Willie? Or four out of five they've lost?
It's like four in a row at home, too, right? I don't know if they won one on the road in between, maybe when they beat Cleveland, but, I mean, still, it's bad. It's bad.
It's not good. They're losing to good teams. They're losing to bad teams. It doesn't matter. They're building leads. They're blowing them. I don't know if it's something Brad Stevens needs to fix at the rotation. He's not getting a lot out of his bench. Obviously, they've had health issues, but, you know, they're still right up there in the standings. They just need to figure this thing out. I don't know what's going on with them. And then one other note, Hamilton's Marcus Zagorowski playing for Creighton, one of the top-ranked teams in the country right now. They just got a big win over Seton Hall, and Zagorowski was today named to the second team All-Big East. Probably could have been on the first team. He's had a phenomenal year, but nonetheless, great honor for Marcus, the brother of Michael Carter-Williams, who has also been playing well in the NBA for the Orlando Magic, who are putting together a little run right now. So nice little piece on that family.
And how good was that to be able to sit next to basketball guru Mike Grenier on Saturday night out there at the Saga Center and get this information and have him, boy, he's pumped up for these things. Yeah. Just a couple of other things before we go to Phil is that, you know, Saturday at the Saga Center in girls action, North Reading under their first-year coach, Bob Romeo, yep, formerly of Masconomet, had his team upset Pentucket. Pentucket just is the defending state champs, but they just didn't have a flow going in that game Saturday afternoon at Lowell. But North Reading comes out on top. Congratulations to them. They had lost to Masco earlier this year at home, but then beat them at Masco later on in the season. And a couple of other North Shore teams, St. Mary's boys and girls, will now both be at the Boston Garden this week on Wednesday. The girls win the North title, and the boys win a North title as well, both in Division III.
Both
very easily, yeah, as well. Well, I'll take it back. St. Mary's beat Amesbury, and it was a little closer for a while. They beat them very big earlier in the season in their holiday tournament, but this one was a much closer game. And actually, Amesbury played much better and made it pretty competitive. But it was one of those situations, Nick, where the Spartans had kind of a 10-point lead cushion throughout most of the game, and bigger later on in different times where it's bigger as well. So they had that going for them. Phil?
I don't know if you guys said it, but congratulations to Max Leet winning a New England Wrestling Championship. There you go. And a great showing by some other guys there as well.
57-0 now this year?
Something ridiculous. Yeah.
He's got another year, right?
Yeah. He's going after his fourth All-State title next year.
Unbelievable.
I think this summer he's going to go out and see if he can take down Andre T. Giant.
What about Dalton? He had a good showing, too.
He did. I think he finished second place.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that right, Willie? Second place for Calvin?
Oh, so that Melrose kid?
Yeah. I know Ian Darling finished in fifth place.
Yeah.
You know, I know Max Leet is good, but I would love to see, Phil, you and Max go at it. You know what I mean? You know, I would be interesting, you know. What do you think?
Not for me. No.
You have to break the rules a little bit on the weight class.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that would be a good idea. Also want to say shout out to my guys, Kyle and Matt Koopman, twins from Marblehead on the Providence College hockey team. They're in the Hockey East quarterfinals this weekend. So Go Friars, go Team Coop. Hope those guys do well.
There they are, Phil Stacey, Matt Williams, and Nick Giannino, all from the Salem News, and I'm Bill Newell. The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com.